Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. Some people we've not seen for a long time. Some people we see lots of, which is great. And welcome. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you that you welcome us into your presence. Whether we're here in person, whether we're watching online, whether we're listening to the recording, we thank you that we can be in your presence through Jesus. Pray today, Lord, that you would speak to us. May we have open hearts and open ears, ready to hear your word to us. And may we love you in response to the great love you've shown us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've come to that time of the year where notices abound. Because, why is that? Because we're alive. Some of you have remembered. There's only a handful. But is anybody else alive here this morning? Sheila, will you put your hand up, please? Your time is not yet, Sheila. Sorry to wake you up, Sheila. Colin, I'm really worried this morning. For those who can't see, Colin is now halfway up the church. Normally he sits at the back where he's realistically, you know, reasonably under control. But now he's halfway up the congregation. I'm really worried. A few notices for you. Tonight, first Sunday in the month, we have an evening service. Tonight is going to be led by the discipleship group that is led by Philip and Pauline and Richard. It's going to be great. Do come along. Refreshments from around 6, half past 6, we start the service. Just a short service, but it's going to be a lovely time. Great time. And for the next 4 Sunday evenings, we're going to be focusing on the Word, watching some videos discussing about the Word of God, how we correctly interpret and apply God's Word. Really interesting series of videos done by Sam Storm. Mark and Lou are leading that for the next 4 Sunday evenings. Do speak to them for more information. Coming up next Saturday, we have Worship Space. And across Paignton and the wider Torbay area, there's an opportunity every now and then for Christians from all the churches to come together to worship. It was here recently, but this time is going to be at Goodrington Methodist. That's 7 o'clock next Saturday, the 7th of September. Speak to Claire, who's been a few times, and Sue and others who've been, for more information. Coming up this week, because yours truly does the What's Happening newsletter, there's often quite a bit that's not in it that ought to be. So my apologies for that. Toddler Cafe starts on Wednesday because schools are back, so our Toddler Cafe is now open. And so if you know any toddlers, drag them along, hopefully with their parents as well. Do come and share together. It's a good time. And do please pray. Something also that's starting up tomorrow is our Renew Wellbeing Program. There's a new program for the day. There's a sheet on the notice board that will be there all the time to set out the program. Joan and others in the Renew Wellbeing team will be able to tell you all about it. But it's a sort of it's restarting, slightly different approach, but the same sense that for everybody who wants to come to a place of peace, of blessing, of creativity, of welcome, a place where it's okay not to be okay. A place when we're on our own, perhaps we just want someone to be with. A very precious opportunity every Monday morning and afternoon. But the full program, you'll see some takeaway sheets on the table outside, as well as the ones on the board. Hi, guys. Hi, Isaac. Hi, Esther. Hi, Wayne. Good to see you. You're not late, you're in the middle of the best bit, which is the notices. We have an offering, we take up our offering, which we'll do after our time of worship, which goes to the work of the church that God is doing here. We also have on communion services an opportunity to have an extra offering, just to reflect our gratitude to God for what he's done for us in the meal that we celebrate. And this coming, the collection for this coming this Sunday, which should have been in the notices, that will be to Open Doors, which is the work of supporting Christians who are persecuted in lots of different countries across the world. So that's where our offering will go to today. Lastly, and by no means leastly, David, if you want to use the microphone over there, David's got a notice for us.
Good morning, everybody. On the 19th of September, coming up soon, God willing, Josie and I will have been married for 60 years. And so in order to thank God for that and to celebrate, we're putting on an afternoon tea on the 21st, Saturday the 21st of September, to which you are all very welcome. And it'll just be a low-key affair, a time for food and fellowship, and when we can all talk to each other. I've put on the table out in the entrance lobby there a sheet for you to put your name if you're coming, simply because Debbie, who's going to be organising the refreshments, needs to know roughly how many people will be here. It'll be out on the in the entrance lobby next week as well. But please do put your names down. We'd love to see you there to help us to celebrate God's goodness. Thank you.
Thank you, David Josie. It's great to have family occasions for the church family to get together and celebrate. So do come if you can. And that is, it is an open invitation to everybody that's here, as well as those listening. We come to worship, and there's some wonderful words in the Bible here, which says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And in these times, in these days, we need to know this, don't we? There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Lord, help us worship you this morning. Set us free from everything that holds us back to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. Feel free to stand or sit as we worship.
Thank you.
Sung four songs, but we thank you that in heaven there is a continuous song being sung of praise to you. We join in with the heavenly host every time we sing, every time we praise you. Amen.
Turn off everything's all, but thanks a lot.
Could you just bring the words up for "You are the King of Glory" again? Let's just say these words together. We've sung them, but now let's say them. So, "You are the King of Glory." Let's say this together. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of Righteousness. Angels bow down before you, worship and adore, for you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take up our offering now as a way of just saying, yes, Lord, we want to play our part in what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given to us. And we thank you for this privilege of giving back to you some of these resources you've given to us. Lord, we pray you'd multiply these gifts that many will come to know your love and goodness. Amen. Jamie. Where's Jamie? Oh, he's hiding. You can't hide with a shirt like that, Jamie. Would you like to come out? Come and stand on the bottom stack next to me over here. Maybe you have to eat it like an ice cream, all right? It's not a real one.
Oh, I'm excited then.
It's a great thing when someone says, yes, I believe that God has called me here to be part of this wonderful church family. Just have a look at them. They're wonderful, aren't they? Oh, look at that. You get a wave as well. It's a precious thing. In a Baptist church, for those who are not familiar with the way a Baptist church works, the body responsible for making decisions under God is the church membership. It's us. There's no hierarchy. There's nobody there from on high or some special person telling us what to do. Together, as members of the church, we seek to discern the mind of Christ. And that the youngest and the oldest, the most experienced Christian and the newest Christian, are all able to speak God's word into a situation. And so becoming a church member is very important. Because Jamie today, along with those others who've made that commitment, are responsible under God for discerning the mind of Christ, listening to the Holy Spirit, making decisions about where money is spent and what the gospel is that we preach, what we pass on to our children. So this is an important day. And I would encourage anybody else who's thinking, should I become a member, do speak to me afterwards. Or speak to Jamie and he'll tell you all about it because he's an expert. So that's for you. I'm going to ask you those questions in a moment. Yeah. In the name of our loving God, it is our joy today to welcome Jamie into the membership of this church. Jamie is fully committed to serving God in our church family, in the community of Paignton and beyond. Jamie loves serving. A number of you, he already knows your coffee. So if you come into Coffee Morning or come into Toddlers, you know, when he's serving, he'll be there. Jamie loves serving, and it's a precious thing. He also loves praying. Not that you would have thought a year ago you'd be doing that.
Definitely not.
But you are. And so Jamie is fully committed to serving God in our church family, in the community of Paignton and beyond. And today we acknowledge and we thank God for that commitment. And before you can become a church member, there are some questions that you have to answer. And your time is coming in a moment. So, Jamie, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your Creator and Redeemer, and the Sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
I do, and I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks to be God.
Right. You've done your bit. Now make sure they do their bit. If we could have the questions on the screen, please. So, church, do you welcome Jamie into the membership of this worshiping community?
We do. This is our joy and our
calling. Oh, yes, that's right. God has given us the gift of this brother, and through him, he has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Jamie in his Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will.
Will you pray for Jamie and encourage him through hospitality, friendship, and support?
We will. In the fellowship
of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're going to pray for you now.
Thank you.
Let me just hold on to that. Thank you. Loving God, we believe you've guided Jamie to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we have made together. We pray that he may grow in grace, strengthen his faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We pray you send your Holy Spirit upon Jamie right now. Strengthen him for service and make him more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us all that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just give the opportunity for anyone to pray for Jamie now. If God's given a word for him, then speak it out. I've got a microphone here, so if somebody wants to pray, speak a word, let me know, and I'll just do this so that you can be heard.
Lord, we pray for Jamie. We thank you for the day he walked in through Messy Church. It was a struggle, and we've seen him grow in your presence, Lord. We thank you for him this morning and for Lexi, and we pray that you will bless him in the coming days as he serves you in this fellowship. Amen.
Hello, Jamie. Nice to know you. Nice to know that you made this wonderful step to be in the fellowship of this church. Many of us here have been for some years now. I won't tell you how many years, but Jamie, it's a privilege. You'll find this a warm church, and you will grow in Christ as well. You will find the answers to perhaps the problems you might have in life. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for Jamie. We thank you, Lord, for his life, for the work you've done in his life. And we pray you'll continue to strengthen him, encourage him, and use him to your glory. Amen.
Loving Father, we are blessed to have Jamie in our family. Thank you in this church family. And Lord, thank you for all that you are doing in his life, have been, and will continue to do that. Show us how to support him in the coming days. And show us how you want to use him as part of this church community, this membership and family. And above all, Lord, bless him mightily over the coming weeks and months and years. Let him feel your presence. Let him hear your voice. And let him know that you are with him in the high and the low, the thick and the thin. I ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Your opportunity, if you want to say anything to the church.
When I came through this door 3-4 years ago, if someone said to me I'd be up the front becoming a member of a church, I would have said you were all mad. But no, seriously, I've got quite a few people to thank. Debbie, Josie, David Burrows, Stephen, Christina, many of you that I can keep naming. I'll be here all day. And just thank you for your support and help with me. And just thank you, really. Thank you very much.
Bless you. Officially welcome you as a member of this church, Paignton Baptist Church, and that's for you. Thank you. Right. Debbie's back with us, having been away for a little time, which is good. You had a good time, Debbie? Been refreshed? Excellent. So straight back into working with our youngsters. You've got two, is that right? Excellent. So who's going out with you this morning? Excellent. So Father, we thank you for our children. Thank you for Eric and Eva. We thank you for all the children that they represent. We pray you bless Debbie and Dawn, Charlie and Drew. Lord, we thank you for the time that they will be able to share together, learning about more about you, and particularly learning to listen. Amen. Sorry, David, I didn't ask you before. Could I ask you to pray for us? If you'd like to come up, could you come up and pray for us, David? Just to, do you want to have a seat for a moment? Because the Bible reading doesn't come for a little bit yet. So you want to use that mic there and just pray for us. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for your precious word. We pray you'll bless Dee as she brings that to us later on. And we thank you, Lord, for Stephen, and for the way that you speak through him. And we pray you'll continue to do that this morning. Give us listening ears and obedient hearts to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. He's a deacon, so I can bounce on a deacon. I'll try not to do that to everybody else, I promise. I'm really looking forward to this story today, because we're looking through the Old Testament at true stories, narratives, accounts, things that were written down about real people in real life situations. They were recorded, they were noted down by people at the time, they heard them, and they passed them on for centuries, and then they were written down. It's an amazing thing that we know what happened thousands of years ago, because God has kept his word. 2 weeks ago, we looked at women who are listed in the genealogy of Jesus, the ancestors of Jesus at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, Jesus' family tree. It was prompted by Leslie's comment that the stories we've heard from so far in our look at the Old Testament had all focused on men. Today, I want to look at a member of another group of people who are often unseen and unheard in a study of the Old Testament. Children. 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 I went to Sunday school as a child every week. My parents obviously thought it was a very good idea. I don't know if it was to get rid of all three of us so they could have a bit peace and quiet. I don't know. Some of you, you may have had the same as me. I had a little booklet and you got a stamp to put in your booklet every time you went to Sunday school. And, you know, it was worth it just for the stamp, wasn't it, to go? But also, I was awarded a prize. I got this Bible here, which I used when I first became a Christian, and got stickers on the front of it. Jesus has made me new. And Jesus shows us the way. With a lighthouse on it, Jamie, so you'd be impressed. And this Bible was given to me, St. John's Sunday School, presented to Stephen Coles, for 2 years, perfect attendance. Yes. That was when I was 9 years old, from 7 till 9. I didn't miss a Sunday school. Praise God for my parents and the Sunday school teachers and leaders who were there. And funny enough, at the very beginning, there's a thing there, how the Bible came to us. And nothing changes, does it now? Because we're thinking about now the Bible course, which tells exactly the same thing. But that was a precious gift. It was probably at Sunday school that I heard the story we're going to look at today. It was a story I could relate to, and I'm sure I can remember it now, because it was a story about a boy. And there's a few in the Bible, but this one particularly we're going to look at today. But as is often the case, before you get the child, you get the mother. So the story starts 1,100 years before Jesus was born. The Israelites have come out of the wilderness where they've been for 40 years after escaping Egypt. And then they've been led by a series of judges, men and women who tried to get them to be faithful to God, to keep his commands, and to defeat their enemies. They were leaders like Samson, Gideon, and Deborah. It was not an easy job, as you could read if you read the book of Judges. But now we come to a time when the Ark of the Covenant, that precious box which had the tablets of stone in it, the law of the Lord, and the tent of meeting that we learned about before, the house of the Lord, is all at a place called Shiloh. But whenever I hear of Shiloh, I'm taken back to watching Virginian, I think, wasn't it, when I was a kid. Wasn't it Shiloh was the ranch? It was, wasn't it? I'm seeing a few nods. There are nods. I'm not the only one. But Shiloh's a place in the Holy Land. Eli is the priest. together with his two sons. The Bible calls them scoundrels. They were doing evil things, even though they were priests of the Lord. And there's a very sad statement. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now, there was a man named Elkanah who has two wives. And you know, I've yet to see a successful situation in the Old Testament with a man who has two wives. But that's another story. A man named Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. He loves them both. But Peninnah had children and Hannah did not. Every year they would go up to the house of the Lord at Shiloh to worship and to make their annual sacrifice. And Peninnah, she must have been a horrible woman. She provoked Hannah. You haven't got any children. You think God loves you. You haven't got any children. I'm the one with the children. What a horrible woman. She provoked her to tears. So she could not even eat the feast. It was supposed to be a really happy occasion. And so in her deep anguish one year, Hannah went into the Lord's house to pray, and she made a vow to the Lord. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of my life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And so she kept on praying that prayer to the Lord. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. Eli saw her, and he thought she was drunk, and he told her off. But then Hannah explained she'd been pouring out her soul to the Lord in anguish, deep anguish and grief. And so Eli said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him." And there's this lovely line, "The Lord remembered Hannah." After they've worshipped the Lord and returned home, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. The word Samuel, the name Samuel, sounds like heard by God. She'd been heard by God, and she now had a son. So this is how Samuel came to be born. And he's the one we're looking at today. Through the desperate prayer of his mother. But how did he come to fulfill the destiny that God had prepared for him? By his mum honoring her vow, her commitment to the Lord. Hannah stayed at home when the time came next year to go to offer the annual sacrifice with her husband and all the family. Samuel would have been about 3 months old at that point. She said to Elkanah, her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." And that's what she did. Once he no longer needed her milk, she took him to the house of the Lord, made a sacrifice, and said to Eli the priest, "Pardon me, Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And the boy Samuel worshipped the Lord there. What commitment? What sacrifice? The child that Hannah has so dearly wanted and loved is given to the Lord, living in the house of the Lord with Eli and his horrible sons, no longer at her home. This part of the story has always felt very sad to me. I was placed in hospital by my parents when I was six, shortly before starting that 2 years perfect attendance. And I was in there when I was six. And at that time, visiting time for children in this children's hospital was Wednesdays and weekends. What happens on Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday? I mean, can you imagine? The idea of this little boy, 2, 3 years old, at most, given up by his mother, is heartbreaking. But God is no man's debtor. He knew what this offering cost Hannah, and he blessed her through her sacrifice, through her offering. I don't know if you can imagine the scene, and some of you are seamstresses here, you can make things, wonderfully creative people you are. Each year, Hannah would make a little robe, a bit bigger each year, the Bible tells us. And she took it to Samuel when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And each year, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife Hannah, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." His prayer was answered. Anybody know how many times? 5 times. She ends up with 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now, I hadn't really thought about it before, but I wonder what Samuel thought about all this. He was no longer living. He was not living with his stepbrothers and stepsisters. What happened when he saw his mother with her other children, his full brothers and sisters? What did he think? "You're all having fun over there, but I've got to stay." I wonder what he thought. And it's interesting, the Bible notes that while Eli's sons got even more wicked, and you can read the full story in chapter 2, while they got even more wicked, in contrast, we're told, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with people. He was being trained for his future work. So we've got Hannah, then we've got Samuel, and the little boy is becoming a bit slightly older boy. And now time comes for change. The Lord has waited patiently while Eli's sons have got worse and worse. And interestingly enough, in a time when the word of the Lord was very rare, a man of God, unnamed, comes to Eli and told him that the time has come for change. Judgment will come on Eli's sons and his whole family and in the future. Eli is going to be replaced as priest, and his house will no longer minister to the Lord. His descendants will no longer minister to the Lord. And indeed, none of them will live to old age. And his 2 sons will die on the same day. God has decided that this is the time for Samuel to take a big step forward. Although he'd grown up in the presence of the Lord, living in the house of the Lord since he was very young, and ministering to the Lord, serving in different ways, he did not yet know the Lord. That's what it says. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This was about to change. And that's where our reading comes in from D.
The reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel 3, and it's on page 273 of the Church Bible. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My sons," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family from forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be in ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
Thank you, Dee. So there we are. What do we learn from this story? Well, as I always say, there are loads of things to learn from this story. And although some of you may have heard this story many times before, there'll be fresh things that God speaks to you through this word. I've just got three things to share with you. Firstly, the power of prayer. Hannah's heartfelt prayer, pouring out her soul in deep anguish and grief, is heard by the Lord. He remembered her. Hannah's prayer, after she has given Samuel to the Lord, remains true and powerful today and is recorded for us. For homework, you can look at chapter 2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. There is no rock like our God. That's her words. That's what we started our service with. We are still using the words of Hannah to worship God 3,000 odd years away. The power of prayer was effective in Eli's blessing. He prayed that the Lord would grant Hannah what she'd asked of him. And it was. Even though he was coming under judgment, his prayer was answered. His prayer for Hannah and Elkanah to have more children was answered 5 times. Every year, 5 years. Samuel's response to the Lord's voice, "Speak, your servant is listening," opened Samuel's ears and enabled him to hear the Lord and know the Lord. Because until this time, he didn't know him. So, do you pray? How do you pray? Do you expect God to answer? Does it appear to you that he's not listening? Yes, that can happen. Don't give up. Keep praying. And if you pray with tears, all the more powerful the prayer. Keep praying. And look for God's answers that may surprise us. So prayer is powerful. Secondly, God is holy, good, and just. What Eli's sons were doing was evil, and they thought they'd got away with it. But God is not mocked. He will bring judgment and justice at the right time. He saw that Eli was allowing his sons to get away with it. His judgment came at the right time, complete and true. And Eli himself said to Samuel these words, "Hears the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." As Hannah prays, "There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." The Lord is God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. If anybody in this life, anybody in this church, anybody listening to this record now thinks that they've got away with something, you are sadly mistaken. God knows, and by him deeds are weighed. God rewards Hannah's commitment, honoring her promise to give up her son to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. You can rely on God to be faithful, holy, good, just, true. He is no man's debtor. Doesn't owe anybody anything. He does what he says he'll do. He'll give what he says he'll give, and abundantly and generously. He is not mocked. He does provide for all those who trust him, and he will judge those who opposed him. Albeit that he's waiting for the moment for everybody to come to repentance and to confess their sin. As Peter makes it very clear, just because God's taking his time in executing judgment doesn't mean that judgment's not coming. It will. But it's for your sake, the world's sake, that he's awaiting that judgment to come. And thirdly, God speaks to all of us. Samuel may have been a young boy. We don't quite know, I don't think, how old he was at this point. He was a young boy, but he was chosen by God to be his voice of judgment to Eli, confirming the word that had already come from this unnamed man of God. Nobody here and upstairs in room one is too old or too young, too limited in any way to hear the Lord and to speak his word to others. But we do need to know him first. Samuel didn't know the Lord until the Lord revealed him in the story we've heard today through his word. I wonder, have you asked God to speak to you? I'll be honest, I do ask him to speak to me, but with a bit of trepidation, because I don't quite want to do what he tells me, or I'm afraid of what he might ask me to do. And so it's easy to stay out of the Lord's presence so you don't get asked to do something you don't want to do. Am I the only one who does that? To truthfully say to the Lord, okay, God, whatever you want, just tell me, is a really difficult thing to do. But it's a very wonderful thing to do, releasing thing to do. And that's what Samuel did, wasn't it? He said, speak, your servant is listening. As a child does. I trust you. Okay, God, speak. Speak to me. Those who seek the Lord with all their heart will find him. If you ask the Lord to speak to you, he will. Maybe in surprising ways and a variety of ways. Through scripture, through creation, through a voice in your head, through a sense, through visions, pictures, through prophetic words from other people, from circumstance. He speaks in all sorts of ways. But the Lord will be speaking to you. And you can test what he's saying as you read his word. Jesus specifically sent the Holy Spirit upon all those who would put their faith in him. Men and women, boys and girls, so that they would know the truth. They would know who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit came to speak God's word, to bring God's word alive, and to give visions, dreams, prophecies. That's why it's so important that each of us says to the Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. So, just a couple of questions and then we'll pray. Do you know the Lord? Do you know that he is good, holy, and just? Do you pray to him earnestly, persistently? I know many of you do. Do you listen to what he is saying? Lord, forgive us when we have not given you the time to speak to us. When, in fear of what you might ask us to do, we've kept our distance. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, for anyone here or listening to this who's never known you, who's never known your voice, I pray today they will hear you speaking through your word, by your spirit. They will realize that you are a good, good Father. And you can be trusted. Lord, help us to pray honestly, earnestly, persistently. And listen and look for your answers. Help us to watch and pray. And Lord, as David has already prayed, that when you speak to us by your Holy Spirit, give us the strength and courage to obey what you've told us. Amen. I just thought, as an encouragement, one of the things we've just read there is not true of our situation. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. That's not true anymore. Hallelujah. May this always be a place where the word of the Lord is always here, and there are visions and dreams. We come to communion in a moment, and the son of another woman who couldn't have children until he arrived, John the Baptist, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then we're going to feel free to sit or stand as we sing the song, "Behold the Lamb."
Around the table of the King.
Please be seated. Would those who are serving communion come and join me, please? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's a lovely sound of people coming to join us, adults and children. Welcome. This is an open table where everybody who wants to say thank you to Jesus for dying for them, for forgiving them, through giving his life on the cross, that we might have new life. If you understand that, you want to say thank you, then this meal is for you. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. The Apostle Paul tells us as to how this meal started. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
As we come before this table to share in this meal, amazing love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live. We come again, Lord Jesus, to share in the bread and the wine, your body broken for us and your blood shed for our sin. We just come in thankfulness, Lord, and just say we are so truly, truly thankful for the sacrifice that you gave. None of us will ever truly understand what it cost you, Father, when you died upon the cross to save us from our sin. And prepare us, Lord, for the time when we will be with you for eternal life. So we thank you again, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Take it as it's brought round, eat it with faith and thanksgiving. I have gluten-free bread here, which I'll bring round to those who would like to have that. The cups here that you'll be given, hold on to them, and we drink the wine together as a symbol of our unity in Christ." So we drink this in memory of Christ's blood with thanksgiving in our hearts, the blood of Christ. and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father, all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we come to our last song, which is also entitled Behold the Lamb, it seemed today would be a good opportunity to pray for our children particularly and the adults going back to school. We've thought of this morning about the time of change, of when the boy Samuel came to know the Lord and his destiny unfolded in a completely new way from that moment. And this is a significant moment as we've got a number of our children starting secondary school coming up this week, others starting school this week. And perhaps some of the teachers in a bit of dread of going back before they get back into the routine. And perhaps also seriously some uncertainty as to what the new term will hold. So let's pray. If you pray out loud, do pray as loud as you can so that we can say amen to your prayer. You to keep praying for our children and teachers and support staff throughout the term. Let's finish our service with Behold the Lamb of God. Let's say grace together for one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.